Welcome to Zephyr Yoga Inspiration. I offer these podcasts for free, and your support really does make a difference and is appreciated. To make a donation, please click the link in the episode description or visit zephyryoga.com. Welcome to practice. We are going to be working with the third yama, asteya, non-stealing. Remembering that the yamas are the most essential moral principles to practicing yoga. So these are moral and ethical guidelines or restraints in which we feel that we are able to have more of an intimate relationship with ourselves and others. So there is this way in which the yamas create these boundaries and guide us along our journey of our life, fulfilling our purpose, our dharma of consciousness embodied, and actually reducing the karmic fallout and making sure that we're walking in this kind of noble truth, aligned to our authentic self, and being able to really share a more kind of intimate connection with ourselves and other people. So this idea of asteya, non-stealing, is the third yama. In the yamas are the first limb of the Ashtanga method. Now, this is not the brand or the school. This is according to the Yoga Sutras in how to practice. So the first limb, there's eight limbs, is yamas. And so you can feel that this is very important to Patanjali's method of working Ashtanga yoga. So the first one is ahimsa. We worked with that. This is non-violence, non-harming to ourselves and all sentient beings. The second one is satya, which means truthfulness, an honesty and a transparency through our thoughts, our words, and our actions. And then asteya, non-stealing. So there's a progression in which we work with these moral principles to help build this environment in which we engage with consciousness embodied as us, like I said, fulfilling our purpose of embodiment. So asteya means unlawfully taking things that are not entitled to us or belonging to us. So asteya is abstaining from stealing, which can refer to like possessions, money, material items that don't belong to us, but it can also really refer to even like time, energy, ideas. It can refer to one's talents, successes, achievements, but then even fundamentally, not stealing people's rights or freedoms away from them. So there is this way of asteya keeping us accountable and responsible in what is kind of motivating us in our actions. So when we analyze actually stealing, what is motivating that act is usually a fear that there's something lacking in our lives, that there's not enough or we're not enough and we need to accumulate. There's that sense of scarcity around. So asteya is really to abandon the intention or the desire to possess or steal from others and oneself. So to give this more context, it's a really good example is just to look at time. Time's really important to all of us. And we wake up every morning thinking we have all the time in the world, but sometimes, unfortunately or fortunately, it's your time to pass on. We've all been touched by death in some form or illness, and we see the impermanence of life. So time is very essential. It's very important. It's very precious. And our ego kind of sometimes gets distorted in thinking we have so much time. In reality, we just don't know when our time's up. So this whole idea of looking at time, you know, managing when we arrange something, maybe not to show up, we forget, or we are running late, or we run over time, robbing someone or yourself of this most valuable commodity we have. So it's this way of asteya, stealing time away by not showing up or running over. You know, this idea of steya makes us really accountable to stick to the agreed schedule, whether it's with work, whether it's with social occasions, or whether it's with family. But even analyzing when you are in those environments, are you actually there? Are you living in the moment, or are you somewhere else, like in the past or in the future, or you're fantasizing, or you're just on your phone and you're wasting time away when you could be intimately engaging with who is in front of you, what is going on around you. So there's this idea of being a time thief and robbing yourself and other people of the time that you get to share together. So our yogic perspective is actually to turn our sense of self-awareness and going, actually, what is between me and being here right now with you? You know, are you actually listening to this preamble, or are you on your phone? And then if you put down the phone, what is that feeling between you and being here right now? And so that's the interesting part of being a yogi, is we embrace that dis-ease, we embrace that shadow side, we embrace that darkness to be able to kind of practice these tools that we learn from yoga, to embrace what is and create more light around it, in hopes in which we heal ourselves, that we inspire ourselves, and we transform that which is causing us pain and suffering to this freedom or liberation. So we can actually turn it in the time that we spend with like other people at work, social life, or family. Have you ever experienced showing up in a bad mood and stealing someone else's good mood or peaceful experience? And so there's this sense of imposing and then hijacking a mood or an attribute to someone else's experience. So you become a joy thief. Or have you ever noticed when you're engaging with life that there is a fear and it stops you from having new experiences, and you steal moments where you may be able to deepen your knowledge, love, and also your perspective of things? So you can actually apply this kind of asteya in so many different ways. In one way, when we are practicing asana, notice when you're robbing yourself of experiences. And one way we do that is you notice that you become very impatient and push yourselves to maybe do asanas that you're not ready for, that you jump ahead of your abilities, and you risk injuring yourself because you think stage one's too easy, stage two, whatever, I want to get to stage three. So you jump ahead and you miss valuable information, but you run the risk of not being prepared enough physically, energetically, and mentally, emotionally to be able to kind of digest that asana. And so that's why ahimsa is really important, non-harming, non-violence to oneself in practice, because it gives you that kind of parameter or boundary of kind of going, first, remember, in our practice, do no harm. So this act of chasing the end goal robs you of the time that you need to learn this valuable information within the steps of practice. So slow down. Have you ever noticed that in a vinyasa practice, you're not even present for chaturanga because you don't want to feel it? So you're thinking about the up dog, but when you're an up dog, you're kind of like, I don't want to be here either. You're chasing the forward bend and down dog, and you end up down dogging, you totally miss the whole vinyasa. So it's that sense of dropping into present awareness and even being conscious of the transition of each asana, and that really focusing on the second yama, satya, truthfulness, is key to practicing, so we can discern actually what steps need to be taken, and you start to form a deeper trust that actually you'll care for yourself, you'll adhere to ahimsa, and that you'll make better choices as you tap into that innate wisdom and listen. Actually, stage two is where I need to stop today. Or actually, I need to actually go back and maybe just stage one. Or I need to challenge myself and actually move forward. So there is this sense when we get quiet enough and listen to that inner guide, that buddhi, that inner teacher, that everything we need is resting inside of us. We just need to listen and open to hearing and being able to be guided by that intuition rather than our kind of distorted ego of thinking, if I can get that yoga asana, then I'll be enough. Or if I can actually tick that box off, then I'll be okay. And actually, there is a deeper wisdom that you listen to and go, wow, we're having a hard time. And so we tap into that source of power, knowledge, love, and peace that is within us all the time to best skillfully navigate our practice to ultimately find a deeper, more lasting fulfillment, contentment, and true freedom rather than kind of being caught up in our own ignorance, attachment, aversion, fear, and egotism. Woo-hoo-hoo. So, Gandhi was quoted in stating that mankind's greed and craving for artificial needs is a form of stealing. So we can actually see that hoarding material items or having excess amounts of things is a form of stealing because we take away from the less fortunate. And we can kind of see the paper, toilet paper fiasco kind of representing this, is that we hoard and we take away from others. We can do that in conversation. We hoard the conversation and we take away from others. So there is this way in which we need to have more boundaries in giving people the space and offering this kind of generosity. And Asteya, it really points to this belief that there is this abundance and prosperity that will naturally unfold as karma intends. And as we practice, we open to this vast loving awareness, this presence that builds that confidence of life's abundance, and that we are touched by this natural generosity that blooms within, that we feel that there is enough, that there we are safe, and we feel that actually we can actually bear fruit. And in that prosperity, we can share that fruit, especially to the less fortunate. And so we're able to sit with all experiences, not feeling that we have to steal everything because we feel unsafe or there's scarcity or a lacking of, because within we feel whole, at one, connected, complete. And there is this natural way in which generosity of spirit unfolds. So this respectful, loving, wakeful way we practice being accountable for our mind finding its way back home in its body. Remembering yoga? Practicing yoga is taking two opposing opposites and having an intimate relationship, bringing them together. The state of yoga is when they are together. There is this unification, this oneness, this wholeness, this completeness. So what we are trying to do in our practice is draw the mind to have a deeper relationship with the body through the movement pattern of the breath. So once you form your asana, whichever asana you choose, and this is where ahimsa and satya are really important, that you create non-harming and a truthfulness in the asana that you have chosen, whether it's stage one, two, or three. You create sthira and sukham. So there is this structural integrity, a stability, and a steadiness within your asana, and an ease, a comfort within. Then, once that is ticked, then you turn your mind to the body breathing. The inflow, the outflow, then open to the sensation pattern, whether it's the prana pattern of your inflow and outflow, whether it's the sensation of stretching or strengthening, whether it's emotional releasing. You become aware and present and draw the mind to focus on sensation. This cultivates light, this light of insight to understand what's going on, but this light that inspires you and you're like, wow, this is so cool. And then that light and heat for transformation, of dissolving our attachments to limiting beliefs, of starting to confront what is between me and being here right now, and burning that light brighter so darkness can exist. And what we're going to do is actually form an intention and reinforce this intention of practice. Like, you know, we touch that area of unmet need, our vulnerability, that lacking, that feeling of not enough, that feeling that there's this kind of darkness that is consuming that motivates us to steal time, energy, material things, you know, yoga poses. So we form an intention that pulls at our heartstrings. And then we draw in our heat of our practice that intention in to help motivate us, be determined, and show up in this, loving way to keep going, to persevere. And hopefully through that, by the end of the practice, you will bathe in all your effort and feel that sense of that vast loving grace in which you entrust in, that you feel whole, one, and complete as you are. So you can actually conduct and come off of your mat and go and skillfully do your life, adhering to ahimsa, satya, and asteya. If you would like to continue to practice, find out more information about the topics discussed, or to donate to this podcast, please visit zephyryoga.com or follow the link in the episode description. I thank you.